From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. UCLG Aspect devises joint strategy to stem COVID-19 transmission. Government expands social aid for poor to prevent Idul Fitri mudik. Now the news in detail. The United Cities and local government UCLG for Asia and Pacific has come up with a joint strategy to contain the spread of the coronavirus disease pandemic. UCLG President Tri Risma Hari Ini, currently Surabaya Mayor, spoke of having health limited meeting via teleconference with UCLG ASPAC members at the Surabaya City Hall on Thursday. The UCLG ASPAC members participating in the limited meeting comprise UCLG ASPAC Secretary General Bernadia Irawati, Chair of UCLG Standing Committee of Women in Local Government Chen Yini, Mayor of South Korea's Jeonju Kim Song-soo, and Mayor of the Philippines Iriga Madeleine Alfelor. The other participants were Malaysia Subang Jaya Mayor Nur Aini Binti Ruslan, Professor, Graduate Schools of Media and Governance of Japan's Keio University Dr. Rajib Shaw, and Head of Incheon One Getty, UNDRR Sanjaya Patia. Hence, Risma Hari Ini has positively welcomed the launch of condensed guidance by the local government in Asia as one of the instruments to support the strategy to fight the COVID-19 pandemic in their respective cities. In the past several weeks, the government has expanded several social assistance programs for low-income citizens across the country affected by the COVID-19 outbreak. As stated by JakartaPost.com, President Joko Widodo said that the government had made it a priority to ensure citizens' basic needs were met. The president also expressed confidence the government could maintain the purchasing power of low-income people during the crisis. From cash transfers for Jakarta's residents to financial aid for bus drivers, there are the programs the government has launched to help low-income citizens during the outbreak. The president said he hoped the social aid would help persuade people from participating in the annual Idul Fitri Mudik exodus, which is feared will increase the spread of the disease. The World Health Organization Chief Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said countries should be cautious about easing restrictions even as some struggles with the economic impact. Europe's worst-hit countries, Spain and Italy, are both relaxing some measures while their lockdowns continue. Globally, there are 1.6 million cases of coronavirus and 101,000 deaths. Speaking at a virtual news conference in Geneva, Dr. Tedros said there had been a welcome slowing of the epidemic in some European countries. WHO was working with governments to form strategies for easing restrictions, but that this should not be done too soon. The government in Spain is preparing to allow some non-essential workers in sectors including constructions and factory productions to return to their jobs on Monday. In Italy, Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte extended the national lockdown until May 3rd, warning that the gains made so far should not be lost. However, small proportions of businesses to have been shut since March 12 will be permitted to reopen on Tuesday. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Prime Minister Boris Johnson was able to walk in hospitals on Friday, April 10, about 24 hours after leaving intensive care treatment for COVID-19, as Britain recorded nearly 1,000 daily deaths from the virus for the first time. Johnson left intensive care at London's Thomas Hospital on Thursday evening, 3 days after being admitted due to his then-worsening condition. News of the 55-year-old improvement contrasted with the sobering release of the latest official statistics showing Britain's COVID-19 death toll grew by 980 in the latest 24-hour period, its highest yet. It brings the total number of fatalities from coronavirus in UK hospitals to nearly 9,000, while the number of confirmed cases in the country climbed close to 74,000. Singapore has suspended the use of video conferencing tool Zoom by its teacher after a very serious incident during a home-based lesson. Singapore closed its schools on Wednesday in response to a rising numbers of coronavirus cases. But one mother told local media that during her daughter's geography lessons, obscene images appeared on screen before two men asked girls to flash. Zoom told the BBC the company was deeply upset about the incident. Zoom recently changed its default setting for home-based learning and issued a guide for teachers to secure their virtual classrooms. It's not known how the hackers gained access. Zoom meetings have 9-digit IDs and can, in theory, be joined by any users if they are not protected by the organizer. Expert on the White House COVID-19 Task Force says the coronavirus outbreak is starting to level off across the U.S. Dr. Deborah Birx said there were good signs the outbreak was stabilizing, but cautions, as encouraging as they are, they have not reached the peak. President Donald Trump also said he expects the U.S. to see a lower death toll than the initial predictions of 100,000 fatalities. The U.S. has over 475,000 confirmed cases and nearly 18,000 deaths so far. Dr. Anthony Fauci, U.S. infectious disease chief, concurred that the U.S. is starting to see the leveling off and coming down of cases and deaths. But he added that despite the important advanced mitigation efforts such as social distancing should not be pulled back yet. Dr. Birx noted that the rate of increase appears to be stabilizing in hard-hit regions like New York, New Jersey, and City of Chicago. Asian markets were mostly higher on Friday after the latest U.S. coronavirus stimulus measures boosted Wall Street overnight. As quoted by AFP.com on Friday, in its latest attempt to ease the economic pain inflicted by the COVID-19 pandemic, the U.S. Federal Reserve said it would pump $2.3 trillion through new lending programs. The strong close on Wall Street boosted Tokyo's benchmark Nikkei 225, which finished 0.8% higher. Motsumi Kagawa, chief global strategist at Rakuten Securities, stated, "The market remains in a tug of war between those who are pessimistic about the pandemic and those who are optimistic. They don't want to miss a rare chance to buy shares at the low prices." Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listeners, here is our segment news from Indonesia. The first news comes from Depok, West Java. The Faculty of Computer Science, University of Indonesia, in collaboration with the Faculty of Medicine, developed the SIGAP application as a form of the university's contribution to overcoming the limited supply of medical equipment, especially personal protective equipment for medical personnel. Dean Mirna Adriani, in her written statement last Tuesday, said that by using SIGAP, the personal protective equipment needs of the hospital and the availability of stock on would be more structured and reliable. SIGAP is an internet-based platform that relies on volunteers selected by their institutions to report data regularly to SIGAP. The next news comes from Ubud, Bali, an international scale jazz festival that has been going on for 7 years in a row since 2013. The Ubud Village Jazz Festival 2020 was officially cancelled due to the occurrence of the COVID-19 pandemic. Festival director and co-founder Anom Darsana last Thursday said the safety and health of visitors, musicians, and the entire committee was the main focus that must be considered, so it was decided to cancel the annual event. The latest news comes from Makassar, South Sulawesi. One of Indonesian micro, small and medium enterprises in Makassar, South Sulawesi, Frans Indonesia manufactures personal protective equipment, or PPE, or hazmat for medical workers who struggle to deal with the pandemic coronavirus disease, COVID-19. The founder of Front Indonesia, Muhammad Fahriawan, in Makassar last Thursday, said that PPE production was carried out in accordance with standard rules and raw materials were imported from Java. Front Indonesia produces a maximum of 100 pieces of PPE per day. The process is done by empowering tailors from surrounding community who live in Makassar, since they are used to sewing. There are two types of hazmat clothing that are made, namely one-time use and up to 3 times use, because the material is of 2 different types. That was news from Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. First, we're going to begin. The International Labour Organization was established on April 11, 1919. The International Labour Organization, ILO, is a forum that accommodates the issues of international labour under the United Nations UN. The ILO was established on April 11, 1919 as part of the Versailles Agreement after the First World War. This organization is one of the agencies under the auspices of the UN, which aims to provide guidance in creating labor laws relating to labor rights and obligations. Efforts that have been made by the international labor organizations include agreements on wages, working hours, and the minimum age for workers, providing welfare benefits for old age, as well as provisions regarding civil service on leave or holidays, and proposing that member states determine labor laws. On June 11, 1950, Indonesia became a member of the ILO. We're moving on to April 11, 1970, when the Apollo 13 aircraft was launched to the moon. Apollo 13 is landing mission on the moon, part of the NASA's Apollo projects of the United States. This mission was launched on April 11, 1970. Unfortunately, the Apollo 13 mission failed because the oxygen canister on the Apollo 13 spacecraft carrying Captain James Lovell and two of his crew, Jack Swigert and Fred Hayes, exploded. The explosions in the aircraft's fuel tank occurred after 56 hours of traveling to the moon, or at a distance of 330,000 kilometers from the Earth. Luckily, the three astronauts did not suffer from injuries. They were forced to cancel the landing to the moon and had to return to the Earth. The last information that we include today is on April 11, 1996, Israel bombarded Lebanon. On April 11, 1996, Israel planes and helicopters carried out strikes in Beirut, Lebanon for the first time in almost 14 years. At least 5 people were killed and several injured in the attack in the Bekaa Valley, the Hezbollah Kim al-Tufah stronghold in South Lebanon, and the road between Beirut, Sidon, and Tyre. The attack, which targeted the pro-Iran Hezbollah, was in retaliation for rocket fire 2 days ago in the northern Israeli settlement. Israeli government spokesman Uri Dromi said Israel would pursue Hezbollah wherever they were. That was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Rindu aku di sini pun tak sabar untuk memeluk. You wanna ride, yeah, I know you want me deep inside. It's just you and I, no menage a trois. 1 + 1 = 2, and that's me and Gaira bersama.
Let me see that on like the Cisco song. Cause once I turn you on, there's no turning back. I'm like Don Corleone, ain't no one above that. Ain't no one above me when it comes to loving you. Your pleasure comes first and I'll come after you. You know that you're a gift sent from heaven 24/7. When I'm off the stage, I'm yours. And let me set the mood, and let me set the mood while you play with my flute. And I'll be watching you, telling me what to do. Maybe you can tell me how you want it to be. Talk to me, girl.
Welcome to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on state-owned enterprises develop digitalization and data transparency. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises SOEs Erick Thohir witnessed the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding between the State Electricity Company or PLN, the State Oil and Gas Company PT Pertamina, and Microsoft at the office of the Ministry of SOEs Jakarta on Wednesday, April 8. In his official statement, Erick Thohir hopes that this collaboration can be the first step for SOEs to create more value, support data transparency by using strategic technology and efficiency. According to Erick Thohir, the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding covers four objectives, ranging from increasing digitalization capabilities for SOEs, enhancing the sustainability of their businesses as innovation hubs, and as a global markets venues or partner ecosystems. The signing of the Memorandum of Understanding was in accordance with one of the priorities of the Ministry of SOEs, namely the technology leadership. Erick Thohir explained, Indonesia has 800 SOEs including subsidiaries. If they continue to use traditional methods to manage, SOEs can be disrupted. Therefore, it was decided to build a partnership with Microsoft to assist SOEs in developing and optimizing the latest technology such as artificial intelligence, Internet of Things, and high-performance computing. He further explained, Microsoft will help the State Electricity Company or PLN develop smart metering, smart grid management, smart supply chain, big data analytics, and executive dashboard so that it can be more effective and efficient. Meanwhile, with Pertamina, Microsoft will assist in cost efficiency and procurement to search for strategic wells and also the development of philanthropic programs such as the AI for Earth project that focuses on sustainability and the impact of climate change. In addition, Microsoft will also provide learning programs to PLN and Pertamina on digital technology and explore implementation for human resource development. He hopes this collaboration will help SOEs to develop infrastructure modernization, such as the construction of data centers via the cloud, re-architecture of applications, and valuation of data assets. This collaboration is also expected to improve the effectiveness of SOE operations, generate greater revenue, high cost efficiency, improve data integrity from upstream to downstream, and bring better data consolidation. The Memorandum of Understanding was signed by Pertamina President Director Nike Widiawati, PLN President Director Zulkifli Zaini, Microsoft Asia Pacific President Andrea Della Matea, and President Director of PT Microsoft Indonesia Haris Ismi. And listener, that was My Indonesia for today.
Malah lakukan semua inginku.
Office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello there, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder featuring Indonesian tourism. Today, we'll take you on a tour to South Sumatra to enjoy the beauty of Temam Waterfall in the province. Indonesia has natural wealth with a variety of charms, including waterfalls. One of the waterfalls that is worth visiting and well known for its beauty is Temam Waterfall. This unspoiled tourist attraction is located in Rahma Village in South Lubuk Linggau, Musirawas. Temam Waterfall has a height of 12 meters and a width of 25 meters. Its location is surrounded by natural rocks and green trees with pristine natural environmental conditions. This tourist attraction is located about 10 kilometers south of downtown Lubuk Linggau. Lubuk Linggau is approximately 6.5 hours drive from Palembang, the capital of South Sumatra. To reach Temam Waterfall is not too difficult. The condition of the asphalt road leading to Temam Waterfall is quite good. Arriving at the location, visitors can park their vehicles in a large parking location. For ticket to the Temam Waterfall location, visitors only need to pay 5,000 rupiah per person. That is less than half US dollar. Around the parking location, there are some places to rest. Although obstructed by lush trees, the roar of Temam Waterfall can already be heard from here. To see the beauty of Temam Waterfall, visitors must walk carefully down a fairly high step because the rocks are quite slippery. At the bottom of the stairs, there is a fairly wide open space with several giant mushrooms made of cement, complete with a number of seats that are deliberately provided for visitors who want to rest while enjoying the beauty of Temam Waterfall. The rumbling of the sound of the waterfall and the rhythm of the gurgling water became its own symphony, which was quite soothing and refreshing. Besides being able to relax while enjoying the natural panorama and beauty of the waterfall, visitors can also take a dip in the place. Temam Waterfall is indeed close to the residential area of Lubuk Linggau. This place is located approximately 6 kilometers from the Trans Sumatra Road section in the Lubuk Linggau city area. In addition to enjoying the waterfall, visitors can also feel another charm of the 100-meter suspension bridge that crosses the river, where you can see the waterfall only about 50 meters away. So So if you are in Palembang, South Sumatra, take time to enjoy the beauty of Temam Waterfall in Lubuk Linggau. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Temam Waterfall in Lubuk Linggau, South Sumatra. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we will inform you about COVID-19 inspiring people with disabilities to work. So stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Present, the COVID-19 global pandemic is still a trending topic throughout the world. The existence of the pandemic does not mean that some people are afraid and stand idly.
But this pandemic has actually triggered the creativity of many business people of micro, small, and medium enterprises or MSMEs in Indonesia. In addition to triggering the fabric mask industry to innovate with diverse motifs and models, extraordinary creativity emerged amidst this pandemic. People with disabilities who are members of the Harapan Mulia, non-governmental groups or NGO, Resa Pombo Village, Doko District, Blitar Regency, create batik cloth with the COVID-19 virus motif. The idea came up when Rita Sukirni, as an NGO assistant, explained to the disabled people about the social distancing movement amidst the COVID-19 outbreak. They are mental retardation or MR people who have a habit of hugging each other when they meet. With this movement, of course, it cannot be done anymore. This triggers their curiosity about what the coronavirus looks like. And after being explained, they instead like it and asked to describe the coronavirus form into a batik motif. The coronavirus motif used is an illustration of the COVID-19 virus described by experts. In addition, the words COVID-19 is a confirmation that this batik motif is coronavirus, which is now become a pandemic. When Rita showed the batik to her colleagues, she got good feedback about the batik work. Some people have even ordered it. She said the COVID-19 motifs could be an evidence of a historic outbreak to her grandchildren later that the COVID-19 pandemic had occurred. At present, COVID-19 batik motifs cannot be produced in large quantities. This is because it follows the government's recommendations. Thus, only a few of them are active in accordance with the incoming orders. For the price of splashed batik, it is from 150,000 to 200,000 rupiah per sheet. This is done not only for commercial purposes, but also as a campaign to let know the social distancing and remind the public that the virus is very dangerous. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today with the topic COVID-19, inspiring people with disabilities to work. We will meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
Lapisan tipis air yang beku, sentuhan lembut kan hancurkan aku. Walaupun cinta yang sempurna menghampiriku seketika, ku ingin kau tahu betapa rapuhnya. Dan
harapan lagi yang baru. Kau tahu
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we will present you a song by Maudy Ayunda. Although Maudy began her career as an actress, she is also a singer. Many of the songs she released became hits. She collaborated with a singer from the United States, David Choi. They sang a song called By My Side, which was released in 2014. The process of cultivating this song was interesting, because neither Maudy nor David recorded it in the same place. The two singers were busy, causing them to have to record on two different continents. However, this is not an obstacle for them. Well, listener, here is Maudy Ayunda with David Choi with the song By My Side.
gonna love you all my life. Normally wouldn't say this, but I just can't contain it. I want you here forever, right here by my side. Oh, hold you, kiss you, I just want.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kawan, lihatlah sekelilingmu, tanah yang indah milik kita. Hapuslah semua segala prasangka, penuhi hidup dengan cinta. Jangan hiraukan semua perbedaan. Genggamlah
Voice of Indonesia.
But
kita tak akan bisa terus bersama, terus bersama. Mereka berkata, hentikanlah saja kisah cinta ini akan sia-sia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.